See if I can figure out how to work this thing.
There we go. I was thinking when Brother Isaac asked me to bring the message tonight, I was thinking about having to wear that thing. I always try to get out of wearing those when I go preach somewhere, and they never let me do it. I always have to wear them. And I was thinking about, you know, having to turn that thing on, and I'm kind of old-fashioned, and I got thinking about it a long, long time ago when they used to have them old-timey planes. You'd get in them and say, contact. You'd flip a switch and say, contact. Oh, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. So thankful for these young people who were saved and were baptized this morning and everything. So thankful for our young people and thankful for our church here. We are so blessed. I just praise God for our church and our pastor, and so thankful for our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
If you open your Bibles with me to an old passage that all of us are very familiar with, but I think so many times it's overlooked, or so many times we just read over it so quickly that we've really lost sight of a lot of the things that God actually has for us in His Word. And I was thinking about the message tonight, and I got to remembering a long time ago when I was in seminary down in Henderson, Texas, down at TBI, and sitting in class down there and listening to a lot of those instructors down there. It was a blessing to listen to a lot of those elder teachers in the seminary down there. And then, too, I got a greater blessing because there was different times through the months that we would have a lot of the older ministers come by and preach for us. You know, we would have a assembly in the auditorium there, and we would listen to them, you know. And so I got to, after the service, then I would get to visit with those older preachers. And I'm always thankful to visit with the older preachers and get a lot of good teaching and wisdom and everything from those older men and everything, you know. And then I'll never forget the time that I surrendered to the ministry right here in this church many, many years ago. And Brother Eugene Reagan just happened to be preaching that Sunday morning. And boy, that was a blessing because I got to surrender that morning when he was here. And I never will forget, or I hope I don't forget, that morning when he came around and he gave me a lot of good advice that stuck in my mind down through the years. And of course, after that, I got to go talk to him at his home when I pastored in Stillwell. I would go to Siloam quite a few times to different meetings up there, and that's where Brother Reagan lived, and I would get to visit with him. But now he's gone home be with the Lord, praise God. But turn with me to John chapter 3. I want to start off with verses 16 through 17. If you'll stand with me tonight, we'll read these scriptures and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. For God so loved the world. I know a lot of us could probably quote this. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let us pray. Our gracious and kind, loving Heavenly Father, Father, we just praise you and thank you. Father, that you do love us. And Father, that you do care about us. And Father, you don't want anybody to die and go to hell. That you want all to be saved and enjoy eternal life, Father, to have that assurance, Father. And Father, we just ask tonight, if there's one here tonight who doesn't know you as Savior, who doesn't know you as Heavenly Father, that Father, tonight, that they would surrender their lives to you, Father. Maybe other things that someone might need to do, Father, we ask that they would just come to you, Father, and devote their lives to you, Father. Father, we look around us and we see so much chaos and so much wickedness. And Father, we realize that we're living in the last days. Father, you could come back at any time. And Father, we just ask that your will be done. Speak through me tonight, Father. Bring out the things you won't say it. And Father, just bless tonight. Thy will be done in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at verse 16 there with me tonight. When I was in seminary down there, one of my teachers in one of the preacher's classes told me that when you read Scripture, don't just read a verse or a chapter, but just take each word and see what that word has for me. And so that's what I've tried to do so many times when I study the Word of God. I look at these words. I look at these phrases. And there's a lot of phrases that I just love in the Word of God. It always amazes me how that God, in His foreknowledge, put so much in the Bible for us today who would have so many problems in this chaotic generation and would need an answer, and we can find that answer in the Word of God. Amen? It's there. For God so loved the world. You know, we need love today, don't we? You know, every time we turn on the news or you pick up a newspaper, it just shocks me, church, how much killing is going on in our country today. You know, it just blows my mind. People will kill somebody over something so silly. Life don't mean nothing. And every time that I hear about somebody that's been killed, the first thing pops in my mind, where are they going to wind up? Where are they going? They going to hell? Or are they going to be with Jesus? And God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to show the world just how much God loves us. Amen? I think so many times about when Jesus was born of a virgin and grew up and the life He lived and the things He did. I was thinking this morning as Brother Steve was bringing that wonderful lesson this morning, Brother, I thought you was going to teach my message tonight. There for a while, you kind of had me worried. But I was thinking about those Sadducees and Pharisees that was always following Jesus around, you know, and just looking for an opportunity to find fault with Him and find a reason to jump on Him and to fuss at Him and everything else, which they did, you know. Seemed like every time he healed somebody or did something good, they was always criticizing Him. Kind of like the world today, amen. You know, you do something good, and you try to love somebody, and it comes back on you, amen. You get in trouble. You know, people don't know what love is anymore. I was thinking the other day, I was studying some Scripture, not these, but I was studying some Scripture, and I got to thinking back to the generation that I grew up in as a teenager, as a young man, way back in the hills, back on the farm. And man, what a different time. What a different time. I remember last weekend we had a family get together, Mabel's family get together over at the park over here. And me and some of her kinfolk was talking about how it used to be a long time ago. And we was talking about how that people had the love of God more than they do today. And even lost people. I can remember back where I was born and raised that even lost people, I'm talking about alcoholics. Of course, I don't remember any drug addicts back in those hills, but I do remember alcoholics. But I remember even they respected the church and had a respect for God's people. We was talking about how that back in that generation, we didn't lock a church. And we had those old-timey windows that you really had to pry on them to raise them up, you know. Things like that. But people, you know, even lost people wouldn't demolish the church, wouldn't steal from the church. And even lost people would come and help you. Man, how things has changed. But God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die on that old rugged cross, to shed that innocent blood, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at that word perish. I remember many, many years ago when I was 13 years old, Coptic Missionary Baptist Church. We was having a revival. Boy, we had a good evangelist come. And I was lost. Knew I was lost. And boy, my Sunday school teacher and my pastor had preached and preached those old hellfire and brimstone messages. And my Sunday school teacher had taught about hell and all of that, about the fire of hell. And all week long, boy, I listened to those messages. And I was scared to death. I was thinking, if I died lost, I'm going to go to the lake of fire. I talked to my mom. I didn't get no help. I didn't get no strength. Didn't get no hope. And so that last night, that Friday night, he brought the message. He gave the invitation. I turned loose that bank. And I don't even remember walking down the aisle. Still don't. I'm 66 years old, and I still don't remember walking down that aisle. But I remember going to that altar, falling down at that altar, crying and asking God to save me. Help me, because I didn't want to go to hell. I believe in you, God. I'm trusting you. And he saved me, and I jumped up, and I went straight to my pastor. And I said, Brother Payton, I want to be baptized. He said, Terry, it stormed. I said, I don't care. I want to be baptized. He said, okie dokie. Following Sunday, I was baptized. We went to what was called then the slab, as they call it now, Cook Car Wash now. Creek was muddy, boy, running. We went out there. He baptized me. put me under, and for some stupid reason, I don't know why I done it, but I opened my mouth. I think I swallowed a minute or two. But praise God, from that day, I've never, ever worried about hell anymore because of Jesus and what He did for me. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Praise God. Now if you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Look at that with me. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I want to look at another scripture that really blesses my heart. When I think about what Jesus did for us, His creation. Look at this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, but God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So many times down through the years, I have felt so unworthy of the love that Jesus has for me. So many times I felt so unworthy of the salvation that God has given me. Eternal life that He's given me. The blessings that He's given me time and time again. But praise God. Not one time has He turned His back on me like so many others. Jesus never has. Praise God. I've been through 8 motorcycle wrecks. I'm still here. You go down the highway 55 miles an hour on your belly. Hey, I'm still here. Had a heart attack. Was on the ceiling looking at myself on the stretcher. I'm still here. Praise God. And it's all because God loves me. And I trusted Him as my Savior. Praise God. God has given me the victory tonight. Amen. God has given me the victory. And He's given us. If we're born again, He's given us victory. We owe Him our love. We owe Him our service. We owe Him everything. I was thinking this morning as Brother Isaac was bringing that wonderful message. And I forget exactly how you worded it, brother, but I was sitting there thinking every morning that we can get up, open our eyes, and get out of bed. We ought to just praise God, praise God. Because there's so many times that me and my sister Mabel have been called and said, did you hear about so-and-so? They didn't wake up this morning. And I remember many, many years ago, I had kinfolk in New York. I used to have a half-sister up there. She died with cancer. And I had kinfolk up there, never met. And he went to a New Year's celebration up there on Times Square one year. And he come home, went to bed. The His mama went in next morning to try to wake him up, and he was dead. He was dead. We never know. We never know. But praise God. When you're a child of God, when you've been born again, when you're saved, you've got the victory through Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about death anymore. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And beginning with verse 55, powerful, powerful scripture. I love these scriptures that I'm giving you tonight. I mean, I look at these so many times in my life, and it just, you know, this is why that I don't worry about death. I've talked to so many people as a minister, and I've got a sister. Lives over at Barley. Says she's saved, but she will not talk about death. Death don't scare me. Because the Bible says, I have the victory. Look at it right here. We've got it in writing right here. God's given it to us. You know, that's another thing. So many times when I study my Bible and I look at these scriptures, I look at these words, I think, these came directly from the mind of God. These came directly from the heart of God. The Bible says, His Word says, He sent these words, He has inspired the writers of old to write these words for our learning, for our encouragement, to give us hope. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us, look at it, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I'm not perfect. I'm a long way from being perfect. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But I have victory through Jesus Christ, through that precious blood of the Lamb. And I don't have to be afraid anymore. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor, not in vain in the Lord. God sees. God knows. God keeps a good record. He knows what you're doing. He knows what we're not doing. And He asks us to do more. Because nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody can love you like Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And then if you'll turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with me. If you're a child of God tonight, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You've been born again. Look at these scriptures with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning with verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? That ain't me saying that. That's God. Amen? This convicts me. There's so much I'd like to be able to do. So many times down through the years I've thought about things I've done, things I've said. And the Holy Spirit was listening. You know, the Bible says that when we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus said when he ascended up to the Father to sit on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, he said, I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Oh, so many times I felt that Spirit. I'm so thankful for that Spirit of God that lets me know that I am saved, that I am sealed, and one day I will be delivered. Praise God. And then look over to chapter 7, there in 1 Corinthians, and verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Look at that. Ye are bought with a price. Many years ago, when I was 13 years old, there in Coptic Missionary Baptist Church, I was covered by the blood of the Lamb. I was covered by the blood of God's only begotten Son. You know, I've thought so many times down through the years since I've been saved about the death of Jesus there on the cross. I've looked at pictures. I've read about it in the Bible. And I've thought, man, how could he endure such a horrible death? But he did. They spit on him. They beat him. And I used to have, and I don't know whatever happened to it, but I used to have a printout that a doctor had written or typed up. A medical doctor now had typed this up, a study he had done on the crucifixion. And it said in that paper, because I read it many times and I loaned it out, and that may be what happened to it. Maybe I didn't get it back. I don't know. But I remember it said on that paper when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he didn't even look human because of what they did to him. But yet, nailed to that cross, he looked down. Blood dripping down the ground. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And I've thought about so many times that, who knows, he may still be doing the same thing, standing on the right hand of the Father, looking down on this messed up world. That needs the love of God. In homes where we need the love of God. In families where we need the love of God. In lives where we need the love of God. And he looks over at the Father and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't realize how they're wasting time. You're bought with a price. You're not. Be ye not, ye servants of men, but serve God. Lastly tonight, one last scripture I want to close with tonight. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn over with me. Another one of my favorite scripture. I love this scripture. This scripture gives me a lot of encouragement. Gives me a lot of assurance. Gives me a lot of strength and reinforces victory for me. You might, I've even got this written on little recipe cards stuck in on the front of a lot of my Bibles. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Look at this. 2 Corinthians, I want to close with this. Chapter 1 and verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death? That's what I've been talking about. His death on the cross. Amen. When he looked down and he said, it's finished, he broke the chains of death. He broke the hold the devil has. He won the victory for every individual who will trust him. For every individual who will allow him to love you. He wants to love you. I mean, love you. He wants to love you more than your husband. He wants to love you more than your mama. Boy, that's getting right down there. He wants to love you more than your daddy. He wants to love you more than your dog. He wants to love you. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. I said, look, I gave you testimony a while ago. I had 8 motorcycle wrecks. This ain't no ghost up here. I had a heart attack. There ain't no ghost. I'm still here. God has delivered me. I don't know why, but praise God he did. And when I thought I was going to lose my wife, he gave her back. Praise God. Praise God. And in whom we trust, look at that he will yet deliver us. Are you trusting him tonight? Are you letting God love you more than anybody or anything? Tell you what, folks, we're in bad need of God's love today. Everywhere. It's sad. We need love. You know, we need people to come together and hug one another and love one another. And this fussing and fighting, that's of the devil. folks, we need love. I remember many years ago, I said in a message, from what I read in the scriptures, especially over in 1 John, I don't believe that you can really love somebody unless you have the love of God. Boy, I thought I was going to get stoned. Man, I got in trouble for that one. That's all right. They crucified Jesus. Amen. They may kill me. But you know what? I love them. I love them because Jesus loves them. And because he loved me. He died for me. He saved me. Gave me the victory. Brought me through many, many trials and tribulations. And you know what? One day, he's going to take my hand. He's going to say, Terry, it's time to go home. And I'm going to walk that path to glory land with my Heavenly Father. Praise God. Let's stand tonight and go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, Father, we thank you for these scriptures that you have given so many years ago. Father, we thank you for these examples. Father, we thank you for your love tonight. Father, I just praise you and thank you. And I feel like, Father, that's not enough. But, Father, that's all I can do. Father, I feel like in my heart there's not even a word in the English language to express how I feel in my heart for you and what you've done for me. And for so many others that have trusted you and believed in you and surrendered their lives to you. Father, ask if there's a need here tonight. Father, that they will just allow you to love them, to give them peace, joy, unspeakable. Father, before it's eternally too late. Father, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.